I don't know. I can sort of picture that in my head, right? Mayor Wolf tooling down some sort of Texas highway. I don't know. What would have been like a Volkswagen Rabbit convertible or something like that on your way to be your do your weather job at the TV station? Listening to American
Toyota,
Girl by Tom Petty?
Toyota Corolla liftback with no air conditioning.
There you go. Well, you know, TV wasn't always glamorous. That is for
no,
sure.
No, it was not.
Well, good morning and welcome. We talked to Tanya a little earlier. This is great news, maybe even becoming even better news as we move along here. But I know a lot of people work behind the scenes to make this happen. But the basic bottom line story here is more shots, more vaccines for people here in Macon County.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about this. The governor's office called to talk to me about that yesterday, and you know, 3 weeks after I contacted my liaison in the governor's office. And I'm very excited about this opportunity, but it's kind of like, folks, we don't need to prove this to you. We can handle this, and we don't need support from the National Guard. Just give us our vaccine. Let us set up a site, because you know it's really hard, as I explained in a not very nice way to my person in the governor's office. You know, it's one thing for this to be a supply issue, but when you're telling me we can't get more because there's a supply issue, and all of a sudden Sangamon County is getting 4,000 doses, and we're getting dribs and drabs, it's not right. Carbondale has 2 mass vaccination sites set up. So explain this to me. So it was not a very nice conversation.
And when you say explain this to me, what do they say?
Well, you know, we're trying to get these mass vaccination sites set up, and I'm like, fine, give me one.
Okay, and then?
Yeah, because as I was explaining, there were a lot of, well, this is going to get better. This is going to be, our focus has been on these mass sites, and like, you know, Crossing has a state of the art call center. We can handle this. 1B, the group that's supposed to be vaccinated now, I said we've got like 23,000 people over 65 in Macon County. We have, because of the criteria you all put on this, you're hitting every one of my major employers. And not all these people live in Macon County. To Tanya's point, people come in here, you know, from, you know, DeWitt County, from, you know, Cerro Gordo, from other places. They come here to work at our companies. We can handle them. We can set this up where we can go company to company and get this done, but we have to have the vaccine to do it. But when you, it's the majority of our population falls under 1B.
Yes, and that. Do you think they're just a little sort of gun shy because of working with larger cities and having all the snafus? I mean, is there any sort of? I'm trying to be understanding here that maybe there's just some reluctance to trust local folks because they've been burned. I don't know.
Well, you know, anytime you get bureaucracy and politicians involved, you've got issues where, look, everybody's trying to do the right thing, I think, bottom line, but there are other issues that come into play. And realistically, you know, the fair way to do this is to do it by per capita. Okay, Macon County, you get X number of vaccines. But
based on population.
But as I was pointing out to Mr. Challo in the governor's office, when Champaign County has 29,000 people fully vaccinated, Sangamon County has 22,000 people fully vaccinated, and we have 7, there's a problem.
Okay, and then what is the answer to that question? What do you hear?
Basically, we're working on it, and more vaccine will be coming.
Okay. Do we have?
So I'm just
maybe
hoping that this allotment that's going to Crossing, we need this to be on top of what we've been promised. You know,
yeah.
Give us at least, let us know that we're getting, you know, 1,200 a week for the rest of the county, for the hospitals and for, you know, the health department. Give us that. Tell us that. And then on top of that, you know, Crossing, which will be able to prove this in like a minute that we can handle this. We're better set up than most communities in the state.
Maybe that will be the case. Let's hope, right?
I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt on this. But, Brian, I'm not going to stop pounding the door. I'm so frustrated. I'm more frustrated about this. You know, and I also pointed out, look, folks, we did everything for the public health during this entire pandemic. We have not strayed. We have followed the governor's orders, which, by the way, the Springfield City of Springfield did not, and yet they're getting, what, 4,000 shots?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. Tell me about the letter that was sent out, and I know that it was signed by everybody, and that there's hope that we become one of these more regional places to have plenty of vaccines to go around. But were all of the elected officials on board with this?
You know, as far as I can tell, and Brian, I will take help from anybody. We have been asking for help from everybody to try and get more vaccine in this part of the state. And, you know, I am glad that we, even if they are not in favor of many of the rules that have come down, I think everybody is in favor of good health and trying to get vaccines for the people who want it and to get our fair share in this part of the state. So I appreciate the fact that we had, you know, we are a cohesive unit. It's not like there's a divided faction going, yeah, you don't really need it. You don't need a vaccine. Don't worry about it. No, everybody signed on, and, you know, it's bipartisan. It's a unity thing, because the bottom line is we need that vaccine for the people of this area, the people who live here and the people who work here, because we want everybody to be safe, and we want our fair share, period.
I think everyone's on board with that. I'm not quite sure that it does. I don't know that it works releasing the letter before these conversations have been decided. I don't know that getting out first to try to take credit for something helps us politically to get what we want to get.
I don't care who gets the credit. I just want the stupid
vaccine
in everybody's arm right now. Okay. I don't mean stupid vaccine. I just want it. And, Brian, I don't care how we get it. I really don't.
No, I don't either. But I'm asking, can it, by putting that stuff out there early, can it hurt the cause?
I don't think so. I think we've made our case to, you know, the legislators in this area. We've made our case to Congressman Davis, and he's been, you know, Helen has just been amazing trying to help make sure we had vaccines for our nursing homes when we were supposed to have vaccines for our nursing homes. I've been in contact with former Senator Menard, and, you know, he is still, we have his ear. And I need that to translate into vaccines. So it's not that this is a last ditch. I mean, we've been in contact. My frustration level is getting a little out of hand, so I should probably stop.
That's okay. Where's Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth in all of this?
Well, you know, in Washington, they've got a lot going on trying to get the relief package headed here. I don't know their direct involvement. I know there are contracts with federal direct ships, and that was one of the reasonings behind going to the state fairgrounds, is that was a decision made through federal input that, you know, we're also having a hard time figuring out and getting answers as to who's making these decisions. Is it IDPH? Is it the governor's office? Who? Just tell me who.
And they can't answer that? I mean, that seems like an easy question to answer.
We have not been able to get that answered in a very concise way, you know. But somebody's got to be making decisions, or a small group or a big group. But, you know, it's going to be signed off by others. But I don't know.
All right. We had 7 positive cases and 1 death, a male in his 80s. I want to make sure that we mention that. You and I have talked about this several times. These deaths have been so statistical and not personal, meaning we don't have names attached. We don't have a picture attached. The families clearly know, as we almost are, you know, we're 10 days away from March 14th, when really for most of us, you know, heading into that St. Patrick's Day weekend, that's when we really knew the world was not going to be the same. And that is almost a year. Can you believe it?
Well, and your point is very valid. The deaths are continuing. This is, you know, even though our numbers are great and we have fewer people that are testing positive, and hopefully more people who are getting vaccinations so that they are safe, you know, people are still losing loved ones. And, you know, it's easy to cast aside, well, a guy in his 80s, he was old anyway. Well, that's somebody's grandpa, okay? It's somebody's dad. It is somebody who was cared for, who was probably a very vital part of this community. We don't have a name. We don't have demographics about, you know, or you know, we don't have his story. We don't have, you know, this is somebody else that COVID stole from us.
And it's been that way from day one. And that's the frustrating thing. And I think it's why people can be so callous, you know, because it's just hasn't been the way we would normally do this if somebody died of cancer or had a heart attack or whatever it might be. Well, we appreciate your fight and fighting for us, Mayor. Please keep us posted on any developing news. Have a great day. We'll talk to you first thing tomorrow morning. Mayor Julie Moore-Wolf.